Hey, greetings, saints and seekers, if you're listening. It's Brother Two Post, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, I wanted to get back to my James verse-by-verse study. My street preach got rained out today, so I had some time to work on some more teachings. So let's get into James. We're in chapter 1. Go catch up at all the verse-by-verses at don'tperish.com. We're in James chapter 1. Today we're going to do 12 through 16. Let's get right at it. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. All right, so James is telling us, and since he's inspired by the Spirit of God, we can trust him. There's a blessing for us, for the man who endures. This is easy to believe. Why? Jesus, Paul, Peter, all the rest of the writers all called for endurance in the New Testament. Actually, the Old Testament called for endurance as well. Here's a little example, Matthew 10:22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Yeah, we got to endure to the end. It's the fruit and the proof that we have a saving faith. Amen? Amen. But this endurance is talking about enduring in temptation. What is temptation? Enticement to sin, a trial, an adversary, an adversity. So it depends on its context. We have to overcome all sin, all trials, everything, tribulation in this life, right? John said, rejoice. In the book of John, John 16:33, Jesus said, rejoice, for he has overcome the world for us. What's one of our favorite verses, Sister Amin and I? We love that. So, he's already overcome the world. He's already defeated death. He's already overcome sin for us and can cleanse us. What do we have to do? Oh, we have a part in this new covenant, this New Testament blood covenant. We got to walk it out. I always like to tell people, there's a battlefield ahead of us. Christ is on the other side standing in the victory. We got to go through the battlefield. And the Word of God shows us where the minefields are, where the enemy is, and how to get to the other side and glorify our commanding officer. Yeah, just kind of put some military terms on it. The Bible often uses different things to describe the truths of God. So Jesus said he's overcome already. What great news. Jesus also said in this life we'd have much tribulation. He tells us all about the tribulation to come in Matthew 24, and that we're going to have to overcome. How do we overcome? By his word, by his spirit. Revelation 3:12, ready? He that overcometh, will I make him a pillar in the temple of my God. I love that. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which come down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name. We get a new name. That's why I'm called Brother Two Post. We decided to take new names now, get rid of our old worldly names, because one day we get a new name. I like the concept. Two Post means example. Amen means faithful. Yeah, we like the example of that new name. I'm not sure, saints and seekers, if you're listening, I'm not sure where people, these churchianity people, get the idea that we don't have to endure to the end, we don't have to overcome. James just said it, Jesus said it, all the inspired writers say it. We have to overcome to eternal life. We do. And it's not working our way to heaven. We never could work our way to heaven. We need Christ's perfect righteousness, his death, burial, and resurrection, and our repentance to him by faith to be born from above, and to walk in the fruits of holiness and obedience and endure. I just preached the gospel to you. We can't do that without Christ. So we can't work our way to heaven, but our works are part of the fruit that we know him. He said, you'll bear much fruit. He said, you know a tree by its fruit. It's very, very clear. The fruit of a person that's born of God is they strive in holiness and obedience in all their days. Paul says this, Hebrews 3:14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold to the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. That means if you hold on to your faith to the end. I got a whole teaching article. Go to the teaching blog. Look up my if article. I got a whole bunch of verses in there that talk about if. Paul even says it in 1 Corinthians 15. You're saved by this gospel if you hold fast to what you believe, lest you believed in vain. So saving faith has us holding onto Christ to the end. And then he mentions, James mentions crown of life. There's one other place that's mentioned in the New Testament, Revelation 2:10. Fear none of these things which thou shall suffer. I can't talk. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Hey, we got to endure to death. We got to be faithful to death. We got to hold on to our faith to death. Do you see this? Faith and works and endurance all the time, all over the Holy Scriptures. Don't be deceived by these easy believe, say a prayer, get water dip, can't lose your salvation gospels. They're false and they're doctrines of demons. James says, what's the reward? There's a reward to those who love God. All right, loving God. Let's talk about this. It's not a feeling. It's not a squishy feeling. It's not playing music and getting all emotional. No, loving God is a real palatable thing. It's an action. It's to obey. God always said in 1 Samuel 15, I require obedience, not sacrifice. 1 John 5:3-4. For this is the love of God, that we play emotional music and get gushy about him like he's our best friend? No, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcome the world. There you go. If you're born of God, you're going to overcome the world. That's what the Bible says. And if you fall away, you're not overcoming. Doesn't mean you weren't born again. We'll get to a verse about that. It just means you fell away. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Hey, you can't please God without faith, can you? Nope. Can't please God without faith. So you got to have a saving faith to the end to be pleasing to God. John 14:15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Faith and works, endurance, action, and obedience all over the scriptures, saints. To love God is to obey God. And James is telling us in this verse that we have to go back and read it. Blessed is a man that endureth the temptations, trials and sin and all that, enticement to sin. When he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. What a glorious promise we have in that verse and all the promises of God. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot tempt with evil, neither tempteth he any man. All right, so we got some other scriptures that round this out. God doesn't tempt with sin. God doesn't want you to be tempted in sin. 1 John 1:5, and this then is the message which we heard from him, of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. How can God use sin or evil to tempt us? There's no darkness in God. This is a really important concept to understand as saints. And again, seekers, if you're listening, we can't look at temptation and say, oh, it's God's doing. He put that in front of us. No, that's false. No. What it's referring to here is the temptation of sin. It seems like more in context, not just trials. But God would never put sin in front of us for us to fall in and fall away from him. No. In Job's case, God allowed many trials to test him, okay? But not sin to tempt him. Big difference. God's not tempted of evil, and we should be the same way. We should turn away from all evil and not even be drawn towards it. That's the goal, right? Killing our flesh, this fallen flesh, kill it so that we're more like God and sin has not power over us. So God never uses sin to lure us away from him, but he will use all circumstances from our sinful choices to work for our good and his glory. Did you catch that? He's going to use every circumstance from our sinful choices. He's going to work in that for our good, which is ultimately for his glory. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Yeah, God's going to use all of that. So let's be careful how we choose. Choose with great wisdom. The next verse tells us where this lure of sin comes from, and it's not from God. Ready? Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. All right. So James explains it clearly for us. Don't go blaming God. Nope. Don't say, oh, God brought this woman into my life to Bible study with, and now I'm lusting for her and I'm in sin. It was of God. No, you never should have been Bible studying alone with a woman. And as soon as you had any kind of feelings or emotion, you should have run and fled that situation. That's all on you. That's not on God. It is what James is talking about. Lust is rooted in what? What is all of this rooted in? Well, sin, man's fallen nature. Here he talks about every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. What's that word lust mean? Longing, desire, craving. All right, so most people, sadly, in our corrupt sexual culture, think that this is just about sex. And most times, a lot of times, lust is. But it also goes for all kinds of things. David, yep, King David fell into sexual sin. He did. But look at Eve. Eve lusted for something she didn't have, and she allowed Satan to deceive her. Same thing with Adam. Lots of people fall into lust for all kinds of things. All right? John says it well again, 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Yeah, when we sin, we're of the world. We're like the world. And I like how he says that, pride of life. I've been telling everybody, every sin that you ever do is somehow linked to pride. The very fact that you're sinning against God is you know better than God. You think you're better than God. You're prideful. Yeah. All sin is rooted in pride. It's not of the Father. It's of Satan, this world, and our fallen flesh. Don't blame a holy God for the situation the world's in. He didn't make it this way. He's made allowances for us to come out of it. He's sent us the Word, the Spirit, and the Savior. Don't go blaming God. It's all on Satan, and it's all on us. And there's going to be a day of judgment one day. Praise God in Christ, that gospel I preached to you. We can escape it. So those that follow their lusts mostly and blindly are the lost worldly people. Some churchianity people do this too. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. They walk after their lusts. They don't just trip over it. They don't just like get caught up in a little bit. They walk after their own lusts, like kind of walking after something you want. Coveting it, lusting for it, desiring it, craving it, right? That's what happens when you get away from the Word and the Spirit of God. Nothing good is going to come of that. When you get out of the light of truth of God, God is light, His Word is light, His Spirit is light, God Himself is light, Christ is the light. When you get outside of that, you're in darkness. Hey, kingdom of God or kingdom of Satan? I like that. I got to talk about that more. Light and dark, kingdom of God, kingdom of Satan. It makes sense. If you're not in the light, you're already in the dark. On judgment day, not one person's going to stand before God and say, ah, my sins are your fault or his fault or her fault. They made me do it. No, it's going to be on us. We're responsible. We had the ability to turn away. We had the ability to turn to Christ. We had the ability to forsake, but we didn't. If you never knew Christ, you've never received him, repented, and never sought the kingdom, you're guilty. If you have sought the kingdom and you still let sin overcome you, you're guilty. Because God's not going to let that happen to you either way. So there's going to be a judgment day and no one will be able to be blamed but you or me. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Yeah. That's why we kill our flesh, crucify our flesh, cut it out, pluck it out, rip it out, Jesus said. That's why I'm so adamant about no TV. Don't get involved in the culture. Don't be entertaining yourself. Don't be reading science fiction books or fiction books. And don't be looking at movies, even if they're so-called Christian. They're not biblical. They're not good. They're full of hypocrites. You're feeding your flesh. And when you put seeds of flesh in you, it's lust. And lust grows into all kinds of things. Doesn't have to be sexual. Can be a lot of things. As we explained, don't let that happen to you. Verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. All right. He really drives it home here. He gives us a parable about how we all came into the world. Ready? So lust, again, could be sexual, could be money, could be power, could be fame. There's all kinds of lust. Lust is a seed. It's like a little tiny baby at conception. People call it an embryo. I don't really like that word, but a small child at conception growing in the womb. And if it keeps growing and is allowed to come to birth, well, in that case, it's life and that's good. God created it. But if we let lust take, what does he say? Lust hath get conceived. It bringeth forth sin and it leads to death. Yeah, when we get to chapter 5 of James, he's going to talk all about what happens to men, brothers, believers that fall into sin and what's going to happen to them. It's another nail in the coffin of once saved, always saved. Let's look at David. Everybody knows about David, right? He's out there and he looks down and ooh, he sees Bathsheba. He sees her there and he's caught up by her beauty. Whatever he saw, I don't know. But lust conceived there. What did it bear? Adultery, murder, denial. Praise God. David came to himself. God made him suffer. He was contrite. He repented and he was restored. Yeah, there's forgiveness for all of this. But you got to come to a place to receive the forgiveness and you got to forsake that old sin for that to happen. So in James 5, we'll get to brothers that fall into sin and how we can help them out. But Paul will help us here. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So you could say lust unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Yeah, which one are you going to choose? You're going to live in lust? You're going to live in any kind of sin? Willful or not? Well, willful sin will damn you. Ignorant sin, you may get a break from if you don't know anything about it. If you truly don't know anything about it. But if you're scouring the scriptures, God's Spirit will enlighten you. If you're seeking the kingdom, I don't believe there is anything as ignorant sin. If you have the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God, and you're seeking the kingdom, He will enlighten you and teach you all things. Otherwise, Jesus is a liar because He said the Spirit in John 16 will teach you all things. So we all have a choice. And while we can't walk free of sin and our flesh this side of heaven, no, I don't teach sinless perfection. I teach we should strive for perfection, which is actually biblically, I'm going to be doing a teaching on perfection. The better definition is fully mature and complete. God knows we're not perfect now that we've fallen, but He wants us to be mature and complete. Fully mature and complete people don't practice willful sin over and over. Like Christmas, like Easter, like Good Friday, like feminization, like pride and vanity in their dress, like bad language in their talk, like being like the culture, sports and politics and movies and entertainment. You don't live that willful life. You forsake all of that for the cause of Christ. We got to remember to be like the men in the Bible. Let's be like men in the Bible. There's our example. I had a man email me the other day and said, who do you recommend today? And I said, James, Peter, John, Jesus. No, I mean men today. I said, why would I recommend men today? I'm recommending you the Holy Spirit-inspired men that God used. Why would I recommend you some seminary-trained guy today that's not biblical? I'm going to point you to the real people. That's what my website does. It doesn't point you to me. It points you to John and Peter and Paul and Jesus' writings, does it not? Last time I checked, I haven't written a book full of my wisdom. It's all just rightly dividing the word of God that was once delivered to the saints. Amen? Thank you, Brother Jude, for that. We got to be like men like Joseph. Ready? Genesis 3:12. Remember the story of Joseph? And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled. And got him out. Yeah, he ran right out of his garment. By the way, that word garment, begeg, it's a robe or tunic. Yeah, that's what he was wearing. Wasn't wearing a little t-shirt. Yeah, he walked right out of that robe to get out of there. We need to be like, I always like to bring that up. We need to be like men like Joseph. All right. Peter talked about being holy in all your conduct. Yeah, Peter had some fallings and some sin. Yeah, he repented. All right, that's good news. We can be redeemed. The Bible's all about redemption. So the point James is making, don't blame God. Endure through temptations. Don't let small seeds of sin, lust, anything grow in you that will come to fruition and be birthed into sin and death and the damning of your soul. That's what he's talking about here. Last verse for this study, 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. All right, so if you need more evidence about believers falling away into sin, ready? Do not err. That word error, planeho, it means to roam away, to go astray, to wander, to cause astray, to lead astray, to roam away, be led away, to be deceived, to go into error, to leave the path of virtue, to sin, to sever, to fall away, to go into heretics, heresy, to lead away to sin and error. But people tell you, oh, you can't, that can't happen to you. James says it right there. Holy Spirit inspired James says it right there. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Beloved, by the way, I think that's awesome. We need more people to beloved the brethren. That means someone that's very near and dear and someone that you esteem and cherish and love. Yeah, that's another whole topic right there that I teach about at the teaching blog. But do not err. So we can err, okay, as children of the Most High. And the warning all over the scriptures, Old Testament and New, is don't err. Don't fall away. Don't choose sin. That's what I'm trying to drive home here. I don't know how people miss this in the Bible. I know how they miss it. Ready? I just did a teaching on lack of knowledge destroys. They deny that the Bible says that you must endure and walk in holiness and obedience. And by doing that, they're damning their souls. Because you either have the knowledge and obey it, or you have the knowledge, you disobey it, or you don't have the knowledge and you don't want it. You're all guilty. The only person that's innocent is the pygmy in Africa that's never heard of the Bible, doesn't have a Bible, doesn't know about Jesus, and doesn't know nothing. Whatever God's going to do with him, that's up to God. He's God. Everyone else, as the gospel has gone all over the world in some form or another, and the Bible is available to a lot of people, a vast majority of people in the world, what are they going to do with that truth? That's what is going to be judged. So, very, very serious that we get this. We can fall away. We can go into error. We need to look no further than the prodigal son. Everybody knows. Everybody knows about the prodigal son. But nobody knows it rightly. Ready? He was with the father. He was alive. He was led away by the lust of his eyes. He wanted his inheritance. He went and spent it all. He went dead. He came back. He was alive again. You want me to read it to you? Luke 15:32. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead. He is alive again. Was lost and is found. Hey, if you're alive again, doesn't that mean you were alive once, you were dead, now you're alive again? Yeah, you can fall into sin, saints and seekers. You can fall out of the grace of God. You can fall into damnation. Even as a claimed believer, you must endure in the gospel I've been preaching to you. It's on almost every link on every page of my website, don'tperish.com. Check it out. Don't be deceived by easy believism. James, last thing. I mentioned this in another study. James was not loved by, the book of James was not loved by Martin Luther. He wanted to rip it out of the Bible. Why? It destroys his easy believism. Yeah. His grace alone, faith alone. No. James didn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that. Martin Luther was a baby-baptizing, Jew-hating heretic. Don't listen to what Martin Luther has to say. So the great news of all of this is because of Christ, the gospel I preach you, his death, burial, and resurrection, we can repent, we can forsake sin, we can actually even withstand sin, we can overcome sin, we can flee from sin even before it affects us. And the entire message of the Bible is what? Redemption. As soon as Adam and Eve fell, God promised the Redeemer. Yeah, I got to do a study on that sometime. He promised the Redeemer that would come against Satan and defeat him. And Christ did that for us. So what a glorious thing. Redemption is there for everyone who will hear. The Bible says, come. Everyone's invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus said in John 3, whosoever will believe and come. Redemption is waiting. That's my job as a street preacher, to go into the world and call people to repentance, tell them this redemption's waiting. And then when I hear all of the objections or, yeah, I got it, I go to church, we have to warn them, no, you don't have it. You're not walking into the kingdom. You're living in churchianity. You're living in carnality, sin, and flesh that will destroy you. Yeah, we have to do something Paul never had to do. We got to refute 40,000 denominations out here. Paul had a few heresies. We got a whole bunch out here to refute every single day. But he told us false teachers would abound in the last days, and surely they are abounding. But studying James, studying the Word of God, will help us rightly divide it, will help us put down sin and that leads to death, and help us walk in righteousness and truth of the gospel. That's my job as a street preacher. That's my job as a teacher on the internet. So we're going to stop right there. I hope that edified you today. Next time, we'll pick it up at verse 17 and go on from there. We love you all. Traveling the road, preaching Christ every day. Got to witness to people today, even though we got rained out. We love to spread the good news of Christ, the only hope for this dark world. Check out don'tperish.com. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Go out and have a glorious day or evening. We love you all. May God be praised.